Morning. We have a series of study in Ephesians, but since it's an Advent season, I'm gonna share with you this morning, and it's something that it's difficult. It's difficult not so much that it's hard to explain, but it's difficult because the setting, the context. And it's difficult because that is in that the day that we live in, religion in America has been reduced. Christianity has been reduced, and especially here in America. So Christianity becomes like an option in our lifestyle. Like people just like to feel good and just want to hear the good news. Not the bad news, but it's time, this season of encouragement, but also it's a season of telling the truth, right? Amen? Because this season is coming of Jesus Christ, and you know, the first time that he came like a what? He came as a Savior. But then the second coming, he will come like a what? Like a judge. He'll judge us. And when was the last time you appear in the court before the judge? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody? I appeared in the prison of judge, because you know that oh, it's what's that? Waterman. Because I went a right turn when it's a red light. And they sent me a very expensive picture of me sitting in a driver's seat. And then I have to appear in the judge. And the judge says, do you accept the charge? I said, judge, no. Okay, how much you can pay? I said, maybe judge, I can pay half of it. Okay, he said, all right, just pay half of it. I was dismissed, but I have to pay half of the price. Amen? But when Jesus Christ comes, he will come. As soon as he take all his children, come with him, there will be judgment that will come. Right? Amen? So, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 3, let's just assume that this morning that everyone here are some people does not know the Bible and know nothing about Christianity. So just go to church, but they know about the teaching about our Savior, Jesus Christ. So look at me. Are you there in Matthew chapter 3 already? Okay, look at me first. Our text talks about Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin and came to earth, sent by the Father 2,000 years ago, was born in Bethlehem. At the age of 30, he came to John the Baptist, and he began to teach and do miracle, preach for 3.5 years. Later, he was arrested, falsely accused, illegally tried and sentenced to death, right? And on the cross, on the third day, he rose again, proving that he is the Son of God. 500 people saw him, by mostly believers, and he was seen by his disciples. And this was so real for them that they gave their life to him and served him. And they go about preaching. I'm going to turn my microphone here. Is that okay?
Okay, ayun na. Oh, see? The reason why I want to turn it on, because I don't, my ear is still, the medication that I got, man, it's just, can you hear me now? Okay, now we go. So, and even though Jesus Christ, he went to the cross, and on the third day, he rose again, he was resurrected, and he was proven that he is the Son of God. 500 people saw him, and mostly believers, and he was seen also by his disciples. And this was surreal to them that they gave their life to him. But before he left heaven, he told his disciple that he is coming back. Do you know that there are more scriptures talking about Jesus Christ coming back in the second time than the first time? There are more scriptures. That means we cannot miss it. He is coming back. Amen? Amen? So, if he comes back tomorrow, you're done with your school. Brother Vic, you don't have to go back to school. Right? And the rest, they enjoy the new year and coming back and enjoy the presence of God. But so, when he comes, our designer clothes, our houses, our cars, do you know what? It meant nothing. Right? Because he's back. Because when Jesus comes back, he's coming for his people and take them back with him in heaven. And then the day of judgment comes and going the rest of the earth. So that's the short or the abridged message of the gospel, right? The kind of the life and death of Jesus Christ. Now, before Jesus came for the first time, a man was sent before him. In fact, Jesus called him the greatest man ever born of a woman. Do you know who's that? The greatest man ever born of a woman. John the Baptist. And that man prepares the way for Jesus Christ to come for the first time. The man's name was John the Baptist. Not Paul, not James, not John the disciple of Jesus Christ, but it's John the Baptist. It's different than John the apostle. Right? And how many are with me so far? Amen? So now I just want to look at the Gospel of Matthew of what John the Baptist did and taught and preached before Jesus came for the first time. Because I think it has a significant impact for us to get ready of what we're going to do before Jesus Christ comes back for the second time. There should be a preparation as John called the people on his time to prepare. And I believe there's a time for us to prepare. Right? Amen? How many of you would like to prepare yourself for the coming of Jesus Christ for the second time? I would, right? I would like to know how to prepare myself, right? Because and I want you to notice that this is not the message. We need to be very careful when we read the Bible. Remember we studied the Bible that Rick Warren told us to do? When we study the Bible, we need to read it, and we need to know who is this message is talking to. And whether there is an application on our life, on our side, right? So that's what I wanna focus on that one. What is this message for? And if you ask yourself, who was this person to preach to, and does it apply to me? So this message that I'm about to preach to you is not really the gospel message, because Christ has not died yet. This message that John the Baptist is talking about. In fact, Jesus Christ was not baptized yet. So what is the significance of this? John the Baptist came to Jewish people. He did not come to the Gentile, right? John the Baptist, he was preaching to the Jews. He came to the people who are religious and of the people of the covenant that God has made with Abraham. Is that right? Is that a true statement? That John went to the people, to the Jewish people, to those who have a covenant relationship with Abraham. Right? Amen? So he came to the people who went to the synagogue every Sunday after Sunday and who considered himself as the ears of God's blessing. But John the Baptist came with the message of get ready for the coming of the Lord. And now I want to see how this applied to you and me. We are not atheists. We are not agnostic. And I would just imagine that all of us here claim to be a Christian. Right? Anybody here that see, I'm not a Christian. Anybody? Everyone over here claim to be a Christian, right? So, how many believe in God in the Bible? Okay, so this is who John the Baptist came to. He did not come to atheists, he came to the people of God. Are we the people of God? Amen. So, but we have to get ready for his coming. We have to be sure that we understand the Lord's message to those who profess to be a Christian as we prepare for his coming. So here are the few verses. Are you there already in chapter 2 of Matthew? Chapter 3. How many knows the four books of the New Testament? Matthew, Colossians, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we're going to look up Matthew chapter 3. Are we there already? Matthew chapter 3. And I'm going to read chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. How about that? Are you there already? Now my ears is getting better. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. Okay. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sin. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers. In other words, you're the children of vipers who warn you to flee. To flee from the wrath to come. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandal I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff He will burn with unquenchable fire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We're grateful, Father God, that this verse of the scripture that you have put in the Bible, Lord, it was spoken to the children, to the Jewish people, Lord. But Father, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that it's also applicable to those who put their trust on you, to those who have faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray right now, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to help us and to penetrate our heart, Lord, that we may understand and may apply the scripture that you have given to us before us today. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So here we go. These are the scriptures that I would like to share with you. But before Jesus Christ came to the first time, God raised a great man who was called the Voice. Not the Voice that we watch in the every Tuesday or Monday in the TV and they start singing. But it's the Voice that the Lord used, that addressed to John the Baptist. And imagine, the greatest man who ever lived, Jesus said, was only a voice. He was never been a, you know, he did not perform miracle. He did not heal the sick or open the blind eyes. But all he said is the voice. He said, prepare the way. He called it the voice. And he never did a miracle like that. The greatest person ever born was a voice crying in the wilderness. Right? He did not wear a fancy clothes or Versace's gown or suit. He did not drive a fancy limousine. In fact, he dressed himself of a camel's hair and leather belt. And he was not eating a Burger King or In-N-Out Burger. His food is what? Locusts are just like a grasshopper. And in that part of the country, locusts are just like a grasshopper. I remember when I was small, my dad used to bring us in the rice field, because at night time, the locust is just swarm the rice field, and it just covered the moon light shining. It just, when the locust comes to the rice field, it's just like an army of locusts. But then some of my friends, my relatives, they make a big net that when the locusts come, we just swarm it, and then when we catch it, we cut the legs and we fry. Oh, how many of you have tried that locust, fried locust? It's good though. Huh? You haven't tried it yet? Yeah, you put it in front. It's crunchy. It's crunchy. So what was John the Baptist saying? What was the message? As God came to a religious people, sent his messenger and said, get ready for the coming of the Lord. So, listen, the title of my message this morning is Prepare the Way. Even though it's a chapter, Matthew 21, but I'm going to use the chapter 3. So, there are three things. Actually four. But I'm just gonna, I forgot to tell you. There's four things to prepare for his coming, Brother Vic. There's four things that we need to do, each one of us, we need to do for ourselves, for his coming. The first thing is that get rid of all hypocrisy. You who claim to be the people of God. In verse 7 it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood or offspring of viper, who warn you to flee from the coming, for the coming wrath. The amplified version of that, it says, but when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warn you to flee and escape from the wrath of indignation that is coming. In other words, God has wrath against you. He's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Remember, who are the Sadducees? These are religious leaders. That when you see them, they are sad. That's why they call them Sadducees. How about the Pharisees? Who are the Pharisees? They are a religious group too. They are not Republican or Democrats, but in a way they are. The Pharisees, that when you see them, they go far from you. They're trying to avoid you. Because they'd rather be sitting in the high places. Amen? So John the Baptist is telling them. He said, God has a wrath against you. God is going to punish people who claim for their sin. What are their sin? Their sin of hypocrisy. In other words, God is saying, let your lives prove that you are a sincere pure people. He's telling the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, get real. There should be a change of heart for you. When you go baptism, you come to me and you want to get baptized, but you're separated from the rest of the people. They are disconnected. So the first thing that God did when he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus Christ's coming is that get rid of hypocrisy. You who claim to be people of God. That's the first message of John the Baptist. Repent and turn to the Lord. But when the religious leaders came and he knows they were not real, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are not real. They're taking advantage of the widow's home. They were self-righteous. They were not honest. They were not full of love. And they were full of hate towards certain people. Amen? So John the Baptist said, I'm not going to baptize you. You're not sincere. Why do you come with your long robe and carry your Old Testament verses? But you are not real. You are brood of vipers because everybody are getting baptized and so you're going along with the tide. Amen? So that's what we need. We need to know that we have to be real. Amen? We have to get rid of hypocrisy. Not because everybody are going to church, they are Christians. Not everybody going to church, they are real. Amen? So that's what he's saying. He's the message that John the Baptist is talking about is a message to these Pharisees and Sadducees who are not real. It's a message to the Jewish people that are fake. Amen. But he says, I see through you and you are not real. You are not sincere. If you are sincere, forget about your long robe and let your lives prove that you are sincere. Amen? That's why a lot of people, you know, when they say, you know what, let's go to that church because there's a lot of people longing there. So you want to go there too. But see, you just want to go with the tide. Go wherever the flow is. Because probably they're teaching some good messages that are good, feeling good. Right? So the first message that John the Baptist sent through is that when Jesus Christ first time was, get rid of hypocrisy, you hypocrites. And you know what hypocrites means? A hypocrite is somebody who for an advantage to fit in with people. They wear masks. Remember? They have that mask holding it and they put it in their face. And then when nobody's looking, they take it out. And then somebody put it there again. Right? So that's the first message of John the Baptist had. How dare you came to church? How dare you come to Jordan River to be baptized wearing mask because you are pretending something that you are not? See? That's the first message. If you want to prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus Christ, we need to be real. Amen?
to be real.
Listen to brothers and sisters. If Jesus is real, serve Him. Amen? And live for Him. If you don't believe that Jesus is real, stay home and do something, some gardening. Amen? But if Jesus Christ is real, hey, give everything that you have. Amen? I see amen. Nobody's saying amen, but you know, you have to be real. If you want to prepare for Jesus Christ coming, you need to be real. Right? Amen? But whatever is going to do, we are going to be real. Right? Right, Pastor Ed? Pastor Ed, if you're going to preach, mean what you preach and preach what you mean. Amen? But if you don't really believe it, get out of the pulpit. Amen? If this is not real, I better sit down there and let somebody preach here. Amen? If you don't live what you're singing, if you don't want to live what we are reading in the Bible, what are we here every Sunday if we don't want to live what God wants us to live? So the first message, it's a hard message, but it's a good message. Don't you agree? Huh? It's a good message. If you don't agree, go. There's a lot of churches here around us. Can get a better message, good message, encourage you, and hide. Amen? See, because, listen, hypocrisy is a bad disease. Hypocrisy is a bad disease that you need a cortisone shot. Right? Cortisone shot. To get rid of it. Jesus does not fall around when his disease is hurting us. Amen? So John the Baptist came and said, listen, he's coming, prepare the way for the Lord. Are we going to prepare the way for the Lord? Amen? So the first thing that you and I is going to do, you seems to be religious, is that be real. Amen? I'm glad that, you know what? I'm preaching in this church and people here are real. Amen? Tell to the next person next sitting to you, hey, you're real. Come on. Be real. Come on, say that. Be real. You're real. Even though you're not drinking Coke. Amen? So young adults, don't be one way today and another way in school. All the adults, be real. These are not to hurt you, but get ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen? I want to be ready. I want to be real. Because when the Lord comes, He says to all hypocrisy, hypocrisy with all will burn up and reveal. And I don't want Him to say, you're an actor. Amen? Oh, my brothers and sisters, I want to be real. But we need all God's help to be real. See, hypocrisy is all easy for all of us. That is why we need all God's help. And how many needs God's help? Amen? The second message to prepare for the coming of our Lord, look up the screen. Number two, have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. In verse 9, this is that verse 9, and do not think you can say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children of Abraham. Do you know what's the second message to prepare for the coming of the Lord? Forget all the surface phony affiliation you have, because what matters to God is your corazón, is your heart. Is mi corazón, huh? Have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. See, these Pharisees and Sadducees, their hearts were not right. So they said, yes, but Abraham is our father. We are not Filipinos, we are not Mexican, we are not Korean, we are not black, we are not American, but we are Jewish. See, that's what they're saying. you know, our affiliation, our affiliation is with our father Abraham. And that's the same thing with us. We say, you know what? Si Lola, Katoliko, Katoliko din ako. Right? It's because my grandmother is a Catholic, so I'm a Catholic. You know what? For Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter whether you're a Catholic, you're a Presbyterian, or whatever Rianer you are. The most important thing is that you have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? See, to God, He only have one family. There is only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one body, and we are in. We are Christians. Amen? And the only things that matter to God is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Amen? If you are looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you need to have a relationship. You need to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's why we told Urban when he was still early stage of our ministry, it's a herb. It doesn't matter what we are, what your parents are. The blood of Jesus Christ is not generational. You got to have your own personal relationship with the Lord. I cannot take you. Your mom could not take you. It's you have to make a decision to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Amen? So the second message that John the Baptist is saying, don't get full with surface affiliation. Look inside and ask yourself, where am I with the Lord? Amen? Because International Christian Faith Church could not save you. The Rock Church could not save you. The Second Baptist Church in the corner could not help you. Could not save you. Amen? You yourself had to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? You can ask yourself, where are we with the Lord? Where am I with the Lord? Where are I with my Bible study? Where am I with my prayer? Where am I with my loving people? Where am I in serving God? Where am I in doing acts of kindness with other people? So we need to examine yourself to see if you are in faith. Right? Listen, I love you all. And when Jesus Christ comes, here's what Rose and I will be happy. Because I don't want anyone of your money. I don't have to have much money anyway. Do you know what we want? We want Jesus Christ when He comes back. I want Rose and I standing next to all of us here this morning. Amen? We can say, Lord, we influence sister so-and-so. This is so-and-so. We influence them to serve you. He loves you. He is with you. And we are coming alone and we are bringing a lot of you, all of you, with Jesus Christ. So don't go by religious affiliation because it means nothing to God. You got to have a relationship with the Lord. Amen? First of all, get rid of hypocrisy. The second is what? Having an intimate. Notice that. Intimate relationship with God. Amen? And thirdly, look up the screen. That's the hardest thing. I went to many commentary, but there is only one word that they say. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I never know what does it mean. John the Baptist said, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit, I will cut and thrown into the fire. I don't want to hear that, John the Baptist. Thrown into the fire? I want something good, right? John the Baptist said, listen, the truth is always good. But John the Baptist is saying, the first time before Jesus Christ came into this world for the first time, there's already, the axe is already stuck in the tree. Right? Number three is saying, have a life that bears fruit. Because the axe is already sticking in the tree. Right? It says, God is going around and saying, who I have blessed and what fruit had they bear as a repayment of my blessing on their life? No fruit, then the axe is already laid on the root of the tree. Notice that it's already in the root. It's not only halfway, but it's on the root. I'm not going to cut the top, but I'm going this tree from the root. Wow. See, in other words, fruit or axe? Oh, Pastor Ed, it's scary. Right? Scary. What do you want me to do? Make up another Bible? I got to tell you what's in the Bible. I have to stand before God and one, and he's going to ask me, oh, did they like what you said? Were you popular? Do you make them laugh? Did you tell them some jokes? And if you want to see a show, go to Hollywood. This is what the Word of God says. How many say amen? Amen? God said, through John the Baptist, when it comes to religious people, the one I blessed and know about me, the axe is laid to the root. No fruit, I'm going to cut this sucker down. Fruit, then let it grow, and I'll bless them more. See, when Jesus Christ came for the first time, John the Baptist said, the axe is already on the laid of the root of the trees. And any tree that does not produce good fruit will cut down and thrown into the fire. So that fire matches with the day of wrath. In other words, there will become a day when all the homosexual and child molester and all the adulterers and fornicators and all the people that worship pleasure, all the people who lies, and all the people that worship money instead of God, and all the people who rejected Jesus Christ, God has a promise that there will be a day of judgment. That will come. The one who put their trust in Jesus Christ and follow him, he will reward them and bless them. And the people who rejected Jesus Christ seems to have nothing in happiness to them. So this is not about feel good message. See, you don't change. After all the meetings and prayers until just the same old person. You see, Pastor Ed is not too strict. He just say black and white message. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, I didn't put it there. The writer of Hebrews says, land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, that produces a crop, useful to those for whom he in his farm received the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and in danger of bring the chorus. In the end will be born. No, is it? Is it in the Bible? I thought God is a God of love. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless. And God is going to curse. After all, what I have done for you, God says, I bless you. And you're still the same. You never change. Because the land that drinks, that's in the rain, in the end, will be born. That brings us to the last point of this verse. Look at the last verse, in verse 11. Are you still with me? Verse 11. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandal I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? And fire. Because Jesus Christ baptized with the Holy Spirit. He changes us from inside out. In other words, he can get rid of hypocrisy. He can make you real. He can get rid of junk and make you straight. He can take away surface religion and make you real in your heart. So in other words, the last thing that we need to prepare for his coming is that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot do it in our own strength, brothers and sisters. It's only the strength of the Holy Spirit that is inside of us that we can do what he wants us to do. Amen? John the Baptist is saying, you know what, I can baptize you with water, but there's a mightier that's going to come that will baptize you, that will give you hope. You know, we live in this, we are in this season. Charles Stanley said this morning, your season of gladness. But also decisions of hope. Because we can say this, you know, get rid of hypocrisy and be real and be fruitful. All of those things in our own life, we cannot do it in our own strength. It's only through the strength of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And even John the Baptist is witnessing for us today. Brothers and sisters, don't kid yourself. It's him, the promise of the Father, that he's going to send. Amen? There is hope. I'm not telling you and go to try to be different. I'm not telling you to get rid of hypocrisy. Because I can even myself, I cannot do it. It's only through him. It's only through the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you and I is able to overcome the loneliest time of the year. But there's hope. Amen. My brothers and sisters, there's hope. Ask for baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. I'm not going to manipulate you of coming here and sing a song, even though that's preceding the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But wherever you are, wherever you're sitting or standing, ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you to speak in tongues or whatever you start running around the sanctuary. But wherever you are, don't go home without asking the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life this morning. Amen? Because life is hard. I tell you, be honest with you. Life is hard. But with the hope that God can give us, the hope that the Lord Jesus Christ, even John the Baptist is telling us, even before Jesus Christ came. Can you Think about that. Think about that. Before Jesus Christ, before the baptizer of the Spirit came, but John the Baptist is already talking about. Amen? You want to be real? You want to get rid of hypocrisy? You want to have an intimate relationship with God? Baptism with the Holy Spirit. It's been one thing to live with you. But He could not come to your heart without you opening it. Without you welcoming Him. He will not force Himself to come to you, to get rid, to inhabit in you. Amen? So you yourself, if you want to prepare yourself for the coming of Jesus Christ for the second time, be real. Have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Have a life that bears fruit. And there's hope, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So listen, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Ed, that message was for me. And I believe it's for all of us. And I want to get closer to God. I believe Jesus is coming again. And I want to be ready. You want to be ready? I want my life to be fruitful. I want to be real. I want to have a deeper relationship with Him. I don't want to go by Inland Christian Filipino Church. It doesn't mean anything. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that will baptize you. It's not Pastor Ed. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in you standing here and said, Lord, I want to receive your baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life. Starting today. Because I want to be ready. I want to be prepared for your coming for the second time. And I welcome the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Shall we all stand? Oh, hallelujah. So I want you, wherever you are, you're standing, you're sitting, whatever you're kneeling, just tell Him, Lord, I want to prepare myself for your coming for the second time. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life from this day forward. Would you like to say that to Him? Are you real? Are you serious? So as Sister Becky sings the song, I just want you to talk to Him. Lord, please come. Please come, because I want to be prepared for your coming. Father God, in Jesus' name, you have promised us the Holy Spirit to work within us and in us. We ask that you will baptize every person that opened up their heart to you this morning. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ is the only one that can baptize us with power and fire. And Lord, you hear them, Lord. You hear the cry of their heart this morning, because they want to get ready. They want to get ready for your coming. So, Father, I ask, Lord, that you hear the desire of their heart, Lord, this morning. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for every person that stand before you this morning, that hear the message of preparing of your coming, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father God, for that message. Your timing is